I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. It is Monday, February the 12th, 2024, and boy, a lot of events happening over the weekend, yesterday, and the first thing, though, I got to, you know, we talked about this before the show, but I want to play this this clip real quick. I want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great Blogspot. Gulf Dogs, nice to see you. Boyd, Sue from New Mexico, and everybody out there in podcast land. Kind of a shocker. I don't know why it kind of bothered me, but Toby Keith died of stomach cancer at the age of 61. Absolutely love this song. Great patriot. Here's a quick clip.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads.
My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July.
That song was great timing, and certainly this November we're going to bring respect back to the United States of America. Going to shock the establishment, and boy, I'll tell you, Toby Keith couldn't have said it any better, and may he rest in peace. Man, 61 years old, way too young, but had some great music and very patriotic, so had to play
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he will be missed. Yep, what a talent.
Oh, courtesy of the red, white, and blue. So yesterday, there was a bunch of sporting events, including the PGA. They had the last day of the Waste Management Phoenix Open in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's generally played on Super Bowl Sunday weekend or Super Bowl weekend, including the culmination on Sunday night. And this year, weather played a factor the first day, which bled into Saturday and Sunday's round, because Sunday they ended up having to play 10 hours of golf. So they had to finish up the Saturday round, then they had to finish up Sunday, and it came down to two players. And overtime, American Charlie Hoffman finished at 21 under ahead of the leaders, who were still out on the course. And in the last group was Canadian Nick Taylor, who had been playing pretty well, and then he comes in and he birdies three of the last four holes to tie Charlie Hoffman and bring it into overtime at 21 under par. The first hole birdied, which was the 18th hole. They played that as their first playoff hole, and both knock it to within inside of 10 feet. They both make the putt. They play a second playoff hole, which is also hole number 18. Hoffman, as predicted, you know, he's predictable. He pulled his drive, but he makes a nice recovery, knocks it 30 feet to the pin. Taylor gets up there, knocks it 15 feet to the pin. So Charlie Hoffman is first to putt. He misses the putt, knocks in for a par. If Taylor putts in his 15-footer, he wins. And Nick Taylor from Canada drains the 15-footer for two consecutive birdies. Actually, three consecutive birdies, because he birdied 18 in regulation to get into a playoff, to force the playoff, and then he birdies 18 twice in the playoff. The second one gives him his second PGA Tour victory. Just an absolute great back nine by Nick Taylor. And, you know, 47-year-old Charlie Hoffman came close. It's too bad he could have used the win, because it would have got him into a couple of majors, including the Masters. So, but hopefully his ranking by April will be in the top 50, and he'll get some sort of an exemption in, or he could win his way in. So congrats to Nick Taylor.
Yeah, sounds like an exciting finish, and unfortunately I missed it. I zoned out at tuned out, I should say. Leader was up by three, so then I went over to the Super Bowl. And that was a mistake, because the first half was a little dull, but great Super Bowl, though, nonetheless.
Yeah, so yesterday the San Francisco 49ers of the NFC played the AFC champs, the Kansas City Chiefs, who were vying for their second consecutive Super Bowl win. And the Kansas City Chiefs were led by Patrick Mahomes, who was, I guess, he's won two Super Bowls in, 5 years? And he was going for a third, him and Andy Reid. And I'll tell you, didn't watch the game. I'll tell you the reason why. So the wife and I were watching the Phoenix Open, and she says, what time does the Super Bowl start? And I said, I think it was supposed to start at 6:18, which it does every year, but they moved it up. And so it was like 6:35 or 6:40, actually. And I said, I think it starts at 7. She goes, I want to watch Reba McEntire sing the national anthem. So we turn it, and the first quarter is already underway. So we missed the anthem. So she's pulling it up, the national anthem, because she wants to see Reba McEntire. And she goes, oh, my God, look at this. She goes, I said, what? She goes, the NFL played a black national anthem. I said, what? She goes, yeah, they played a black national anthem. I said, first of all, there's no such thing as a black national anthem. We only have one national anthem. It's called the Star Spangled Banner. So if you want to watch the NFL, if you want to watch the Super Bowl, you can do so. I'm going to go in a room and I'll go watch, I don't know, My Cousin Vinny. So it turns out that, sure enough, they played a black national anthem. We did watch Reba McEntire sing the national anthem, and she did just an absolute fantastic job. She looks great still. But why is the NFL insisted upon furthering a false narrative of a black national anthem? Why the identity politics and the fractioning of society? You know, Americans are born in the United States of all colors, all religions, yet the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball all continue to further their radical Marxist ideology of separatism. So I didn't watch the Super Bowl after learning about this fictitious black national anthem. That, you know, to hell with the woke NFL. I am absolutely tired of all this nonsense. But congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs for winning back-to-back Super Bowls. I think it certainly legitimizes Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, what he's accomplished at Kansas City is absolutely fantastic. And Mahomes just continues to find ways to win. I did watch some clips for the show on ESPN this morning to see who won. And, you know, how he won, and with 4 seconds left in overtime, he threw the touchdown pass, to win the game. So, you know, congratulations.
And it was quite a game. And funny that you mentioned the black national anthem, because these Marxists They are never happy. Tennessee Democrat Steve Cohen expressed outrage at the Super Bowl LV11, also known as 58, crowd, the Super Bowl crowd, for not standing up during the Black National Anthem. You know, very few people stood at the Super Bowl to lift every voice and sing the Negro National Anthem. Not a pretty picture of a Super Bowl crowd, Cohen groused on Twitter or X, because Sunday marked the second consecutive Super Bowl in which the ballad was performed live on field for the big game. The poem was sung by Andra Day and drew much fanfare from the audience. The Black National Anthem was composed by civil rights activist James Weldon Johnson in the late 19th century. But who cares about all the history, because, like you said, there is only one national anthem. Motto for our country, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. And that is why the Black National Anthem is offensive, because it divides us. It doesn't unify us. It doesn't make us stronger as a country to do this on the national stage. So I congratulate everyone who did not stand for the national anthem, and I'm glad the Marxists are upset, because this tells you, this is a concrete example that no matter what you do, you will never be able to make the Marxist communists happy until they have a full revolution here in this country.
Yeah, I mean, they've been given a platform, and, you know, and you have the Marxist movement in Washington, D.C., the anti-American movement, which was led by Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, who want nothing more than to keep this country divided. And they want this country divided based on race and based on sex. And just like what we're seeing with regards to the transgender movement that was furthered, one half of 1% was legitimized by Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime. Why? Because it's in the Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. It's the Karl Marx theory. There are 8 steps to the Rules for Radicals, and one is to keep a country in chaos and class warfare. And you know, this whole thing with Major League Sports, and including the NFL, there was absolutely zero reason, zero, nada, to play the Black National Anthem. The only reason it's done, and the only reason why the NFL and the NBA have kowtowed to this Marxist movement, is for separatism. You know, the United States of America is made up of all race, creeds, and colors. And when a black person is born in the United States, they are an American. When a white child is born in the United States, he's an American. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to do that. But when your movement is identity politics, when your movement is Marxism, this is exactly what the Marxists want. They want this separatism, with the end game being what? With the end game is to destroy or dismantle our constitutional republic. And it's exactly what the left wing is doing in America. And they've legitimized Steve Cohen. Shame on Steve Cohen. But what would you expect from a radical anti-American like Steve Cohen? And it's time to call these Democrats what they are. They're anti-American. They're anti-constitutionalists. You know, how dare a politician who supposedly represents 500,000 people, okay, in his district, who doesn't represent all people, like all Americans. So to hell with Steve Cohen, to hell with the Democrat Party, and to hell with the NFL, in my opinion. I'm sorry I missed a good game. Congratulations to Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid. Well played, 9-7 record going into the playoffs, and they peaked at the right time. And it's great to see them beat the San Francisco 49ers, although I would have liked to see Christian McCaffrey win his first Super Bowl. But you know, they couldn't do it. So
maybe next year. And the Kansas City Chiefs, the Marxists left them alone. The Democrats left them alone. Because remember when they went after the Washington Redskins and these Black Lives Matter radicals, caused such a stir that the Washington Redskins changed their name to the Washington Commanders.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, but the Kansas City Chiefs should be as equally offensive, but they didn't say anything because they stood up and said, no, we're not changing our name. Screw you. And they left them alone. So there's a lesson in that, too.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to – I came across a story a couple of weeks back, and I can't remember what it was, who wrote it. But apparently the Indian tribe, with regards to the Washington Redskins, okay, they're upset at the name change, and they want it changed back. Why? Because the image that of the Redskin, the Indian that was on the helmet, the Indian tribe was receiving royalties because it was a picture of a real chief. And so the woke NFL, okay, they kowtow to the radicals who are offensive, right, who build this offense. And now you've got the Indian tribe is upset because their money spigot has been turned off, and they want the team to revert back to the Redskins name so they can honor Chief Hua Wahua. You know, I don't even know who the chief is, but I think it's funny. I mean, all this woke nonsense, and it's backfiring. It's absolutely hysterical. And speaking of hysterical, got to talk about this one really quick. So since George W. Bush, I believe it was president, it's been customary for the president of the United States to be interviewed prior to the Super Bowl, and they can play it during the festivities. But because of Joe Biden's lack of mental ability and the fact that he's not transparent, and the Obama alumni are shielding the malleable simpleton Joe Biden, he can't be interviewed because who knows what he's going to say. However, Joe Biden and the Obama alumni came up with a new phraseology, right? A new cliche that they'll be using because, you know, it's important to portray the malleable moron Joe Biden as being an average Joe. So Joe Biden came up with shrinkflation. So here is the mumbling moron in his own words yesterday, because he can't be interviewed. He has to have a proscribed setting and a transcript for him to read, because they can't afford to have the malleable simpleton be interviewed.
The Super Bowl is Sunday. If you're anything like me, you like to be surrounded by a snack or two while watching the big game. You know, when buying snacks for the game, you might have noticed one thing. Sports drinks bottles are smaller. A bag of chips has fewer chips, but they're still charging it just as much. And as an ice cream lover, what makes me the most angry is that ice cream cartons have actually shrunk in size, but not in price. I've had enough of what they call shrinkflation. It's a ripoff. Some companies are trying to pull a fast one by shrinking the products little by little and hoping you won't notice. Give me a break. The American public is tired of being played for suckers.
Yeah.
I'm calling on companies to put a stop to this.
Yo.
Let's make sure businesses do the right thing now.
Oh, my gosh. So I only got a phone call, but, you know, here we go. Here is the malleable moron, Joe Biden, okay, who's redefining what it means for businesses to profit. You know, income minus expenses equals a profit or a loss, okay? So now that cost inflation has risen to the highest in over 40 years under Biden and Border Czar Harris, now you have Biden, okay, the Obama alumni now put in their in teleprompters for Biden to start blaming corporations for this shrinkflation. And yes, I agree as far as, you know, like ice cream, Breyer's ice cream, a tub of ice cream now is the same price, but it's reduced by 25%. So it's not a result of corporations being greedy. It's a result of higher prices. It's a result of the Biden border czar Harris and the Obama alumni regime and their disastrous economic policies, which has led to the highest inflation in 40 years. It's led to the highest gas prices. Gas prices include transportation costs. And if you raise the transportation costs on businesses, they have no choice but to either, one, raise prices, okay, or shrink their product in order to be profitable, because income minus expenses equals a profit or loss. And unlike the federal government, let's say Breyer's Ice Cream, they can't run at a loss for a sustained period of time because they can't just simply print money like the U.S. government and piss it away, like sending $60.4 billion. Corporations now must find alternative ways to remain in business because of the disastrous, onerous government policies that have been put in place by anti-Americans like Joe Biden. So we have a call, and he wants to talk about the commercials. So here we have the Viking, who I'm sure was glued to the TV yesterday, knowing that the Minnesota Vikings didn't make it out of the playoffs. And I'm sorry. How you doing, Holger?
Hey, Holger.
Hey, welcome back, Al. I tuned in about the same time you tuned in because I wanted to make sure I didn't see any kind of, Eastern Bloc national anthem facsimile.
Thank you.
I figured I would just skip that aggravation, and plus I needed to see the end of the golf tournament. That was pretty exciting.
It was. It was. Enjoyed it. So, what, so you said something about commercials?
No. I just had a comment about the Super Bowl. I'm concerned, because you've got a lot of new listeners listening in, and you just mentioned that you wanted San Francisco to win because you wanted Christian McCaffrey to get his first Super Bowl ring, and that just goes to prove. Since Christian McCaffrey is white, that we've got some issues of racism with this show. and also, I'd like to point out that his first name is Christian, so you guys obviously must be Islamophobic. And lastly,
uh-oh,
he is engaged to be married to a woman, so you obviously are homophobic and against transgender. So I'm just shocked.
Well, you summed up my stance pretty well then, I guess. I didn't realize it. I got to go to counseling. Oh, no.
I am so filled with hate.
I didn't know this. Let me get on this couch. I did not know that of myself. I just learned something after all these years. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Actually, it didn't bother me that Mahomes won. So
I just had a quick comment that to Representative Cohen.
Oh, okay.
That the internet is forever. And now, in 2013, Representative Cohen sent out a tweet.
Ooh.
Now, I'm going to read it a couple times because it's like, he must have been, drunk on Jack Daniels or something when he wrote this because, it's like a four-year-old wrote it. But he wrote, told African-American tow driver, my weak father, DNA test, not father, reporter, attractive fallout, not aware of Tennessee District 9, says, you're black. So I'm assuming, he says, I had a tough night. Here's what happened. I drive an 86 Caddy. A lot of African-Americans drive old cars. A lot of African-Americans drive old cars. I'm having no luck. He drives me. We ditch the car. I come back and tell him the story. He goes, man, you're black. So he's got a tow truck driver, and he says all this, and he got, so the title of the article that I pulled up, it was on Politico. The article title is "Steve Cohen Explains Racial Tweet."
So, oh my God!
So the internet is forever. You know, I'd like to point out that, you know, Steve Cohen is from Tennessee, which back in the day was known to house just a couple, you know, grand wizards and grand dragons. But, you know, you spelled it out perfectly, you know, about the fact that these people, you know, have to divide this country. You know, Steve Cohen, obviously, you know, with him fuming over the lack of people standing and paying attention and honoring the Black National Anthem, you know, he's just doing what all Democrats do. They take care of the Black people because, of course, in their mind, the Black people are capable of standing up for themselves. They've got to be taken care of.
Right.
By racist elite whites like Steve Cohen. I mean, it wasn't a white Republican that, you know, talked about Barack Obama being clean, you know, as opposed to, you know, what are the rest of them dirty? Articulate.
Yes.
No Black people in America can talk, you know, talk clearly because Barack Obama is articulate. I mean, it just boggles my mind that these people have gotten a free pass for 60 years, you know, trying to cover up their racist, condescending, you know, the definition of a racist is you think your race is superior. And Steve Cohen, being the superior race, has to point out how terrible it is that people didn't stand for the Black National Anthem. You know, so.
Well,
anyway.
Sadly, I won't be able to see that tweet by the anti-American Steve Cohen because he blocked me. So it says, "You're blocked." So I wonder why. I guess I must have challenged, you know, his anti-Americanism and his. I feel sad. What a sad day. I find out I'm a racist, a homophobe, a transgender phobe, and now I'm Steve Cohen phobe. Oh man.
And Steve Cohen, just for the listeners who've never seen this guy, he looks like a cross between Don Knotts and Pee Wee Herman. Okay. So you know, he instills a lot of fear in all races, I'm sure. But and one last point, and I'm out of here.
All right.
you mentioned Joe Biden. You talked about the ice cream, you know, and the price, you know, the quantity going down and stuff. And I think one of the best examples is we still have a president of this country. It's just it's 50% smaller. Intellectually, we have a 50% reduction in the intellectual capacity of the president. But for the same price, we got a president.
Yeah. All right. Gotcha.
Last thing I'm going to tell you is I listened to Sean Hannity today, which kills me because I'm not a big Sean Hannity fan, but he spent 2 hours straight talking about the fact that Joe Biden ain't going to make it to the election. So
okay.
If you guys got a couple minutes later in the show, I'd love to hear your ideas on who's going to be running against Donald
thoughts.
J. Trump.
I got some different thoughts on that, Holger. I don't think Biden is as stupid as people think because he has been stupid and made wrong decisions his entire career that is had nothing but success from senator to VP to president. He's fallen upward nonstop, and I think it's because people underestimate him.
Yeah.
I mean, for him to get on Super Bowl air and then talk about shrinkflation, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he did it, and he just created a new thing. He has now taken the attention of the American people into some place, because everybody bought chips and the bags are smaller. It is true. But for the reasons that Vito gave, it's economic. Inflation has caused the producers to either raise the prices or make the product a little bit smaller. They choose the latter, and that's okay. But we also learn that the majority of Super Bowl attendees stayed seated for the Black National Anthem. So what does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, I happened to catch the halftime show, and nobody stood for that either.
Who did the halftime
horrible.
Show?
I watched
was
the
it?
Beginning. My wife watched the rest of it. I couldn't watch it. It was just bad.
But, you know, I'm going to come across as this racist, you know, white supremacist from Minnesota, but I have to just point out, because it was pointed out today. I don't know if you're familiar with David Webb. He's a host on Sirius XM Patriot
yep.
Channel in the morning.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
David Webb is a black
mm-hmm.
guy. Okay, and he pointed out this morning. He pointed out, first of all, he says, "I'm a black man," and he says, "I don't need a black national anthem." Okay. But he went on to point out that in the halftime show at the NFL, he says, first of all, he says, the fact is, he says, there's hardly any music, it's just all production crap. But he said there wasn't a single white person in the entire halftime show entertainment. And there was hundreds, if not thousands of people, you know, band members and dancers and extras and singers and musicians. And he says there wasn't a single white person in the entire halftime show.
There you go. I mean,
how is that inclusive?
It's not. And nobody's calling him out on it. That's the problem, soldier. And it's time that, you know, It's the biggest event of the year, okay, certainly. And people, you know, they get up for this game. But, you know, it's like, why? Why? We have – it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense is what we're watching. We're being fed, spoon-fed these lies, you know, and then we have Slurpee sitting there talking about shrinkflation, you know, and he's the cause of it. I mean, and you talk about insulting – Americans' intelligence. You know, if you're a business person, you know, you're sitting there, you're making pizzas, and you're going, I can't afford to pay my help $18 an hour without charging more for a pizza, so I'll make the pizza smaller and use less ingredients. Well, you know what? At some point in time, that's what it gets to. But you've got these individuals, these lifetime politicians like Joe Biden, who continue to pander to the American people. And like Al said, you know what? He's fell upwards. He falls upwards in the stairs, you know, boarding Air Force One. But he's fell upwards. He's nothing but a malleable simpleton who's nothing but a plagiarizer and a liar. And yet we got to be subjected to Slurpee sitting here telling us about how small his ice cream cone has gotten. He's paying the same price now. Well, it's your fault. You took us off of energy independence, which is a direct correlation to inflation, the highest in 40 years. And we're supposed to forget about the highest inflation in 40 years because you're some, you know, you're a dumb fuck from Delaware who supports the Marxist agenda, the globalist agenda. Give me a break.
Well, it's kind of like the fact that Steve Cohen is upset that nobody stood up for the black anthem, you know, but at the same time, Steve Cohen worships the ground that Joe Biden walks on. And, you know, I'd just point out to Representative Cohen that, you know, it was Joe Biden who, you know, was confronted with a black radio host who mentioned that he was thinking about voting for Trump. And Biden told him, if you vote for Trump, you ain't really black.
Right.
Here's a white old bastard telling a black man that he's not really black.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be okay.
Who could get away with that?
Right. Exactly.
Joe Biden.
I mean, And the only reason he gets away with it is because of, like, Barack Obama's favorite line is, oh, that's just Joe. That's just Joe being Joe. In other words, that's just Joe being a fucking idiot.
Yep.
You know? So the President of the United States years ago talks about his VP as the town idiot. And that man now leads the free world.
Yep.
Amazing.
Well, this town idiot, he got undone from stealing classified information as a citizen, as a senator, and a vice president, having them in multiple locations, and he got himself undone because the prosecutor said, oh, well, he really won't be prosecuted because he'll be like an old feeble man up on the during the trial, and he'll get himself off, so we're not going to prosecute.
You know,
how does that happen?
It's just unbelievable. I mean, every day you just, you know, my last point, I promise I'm going to get off here, is if you've ever been to a party, you know, been to a cocktail party or a little mixer or whatever, you've been to a party and like a company thing and all that, and then there's this one guy who works for the company that everybody knows is just, you know, like an idiot, and it's like people just, you know, stand in the corner chatting during the party, and they're like, oh, don't look at him, don't look at him, he'll come over here, you know, and that's what Joe Biden is. When Joe Biden goes to these G8 and G12 meetings, all the world leaders, they like scatter into corners, and they're like, hey, don't look at Biden, he'll come over and talk to us and stuff. They've shown it where the people like literally avoid him. He's like standing in the middle of the room by himself. And the point being is, we've got this guy as president, and he's like, when you're at the party and the guy comes over and says a couple stupid jokes or something, then walks away to get another drink, and when he walks away, all of the people in your group just roll their eyes like, oh, my God, thank God that's over. That's what everybody does to Joe Biden.
You know, great point.
Thank God he's not, oh, and the point being is they made this over and over again on Hannity today and on another couple shows I listened to. Maureen Dowd, you know, put up another article where she's talking about his age and stuff. And the point being is the press in this country won't even take up the real issue. They want to talk about his age. He's going to be too old to be president another 5 years. That's not what's concerning them. What's concerning them is that he is like full-blown dementia. Okay?
Yep.
The real story never gets revealed.
It's his health status. Yeah.
You know, so people defend him by saying, well, he's, you know, a lot of people are old, and Ronald Reagan was old, and all that kind of stuff. Well, but that's not the point. People in America aren't saying, well, geez, you know, I don't want to vote for him again because he's too old. They don't want to vote for him again because he's not there. He's rolling around in a 50% smaller bowl of ice cream.
Yep.
Blubbering.
That's for sure. Blubbering.
All right, guys. Have
okay, Hoser.
All right.
Talk to
you later.
Thanks.
Yep.
Ciao.
Bye.
All right. Have a great week. Good call.
And we got Boyd wants to talk about commercials. Hey, Boyd.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hey, listen. Listen, I'm not going to be like Holger and not talk about commercials.
All
because
right.
I said I was going to talk about commercials. But I don't know if anybody noticed, but there was one commercial on TV, on the Super Bowl ads, that really struck me.
Which one?
And I bet you nobody knows what it was. It was right when at halftime.
I didn't watch. The only one I know about is Robert F. Kennedy's.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Okay, so
it came on once.
Robert F. Kennedy is a coward, but go ahead, and I'll explain why he's a coward. But go ahead. What's your take on that one? Why did it impact you?
Well, my take was that it just happened to be there. It was a commercial. you know, and it was a commercial that with some photoshopping was actually, I think, if I remember correctly from back in the days, one of his uncle's commercial when his uncle was running for president.
It was. Yeah, it was JFK was running for president. Correct.
Yep.
So to me, anyway, RFK is a coward. I know he didn't put it on. They said a PAC put it on. The fact is he probably had known that they spent $7 million for that 30-second ad. Now, if he was truly like his uncle Jack, and is like his father, RFK, he would have remained inside the Democrat Party, and he would have challenged Slurpee Biden, okay, for the presidency, because Joe Biden is unfit to be president of the United States, let alone run again. And if he was that committed to the Democrat Party, which his family was so intertwined with, he wouldn't have left the party as a good establishment player and took his toys to be an independent. So you know what? He plagiarized his uncle's presidential commercial, and it's great from the 1960s, but that's where it ends, because there is nothing now that RFK Jr. can do in my mind that would endear him to the Democrat Party, because he is a coward. He should have fought for the people of America and under the Democrat Party, where both of his uncle and his father died in trying to represent. So,
well, I believe that you might be right that he's a coward, but I think he's also a survivalist.
Sure.
I don't think he would have survived, and I don't mean survived politically. I mean, survived.
Gotcha.
Because remember, both his uncle and his father were taken out.
Yep.
You know, dead-wise. The only one that survived was his uncle Teddy, because he played ball.
Teddy knew how to swim, so.
Yeah, and RFK, I don't think, wants to play ball with that team. But anyway... The other thing I wanted to mention was how journalistic you are. As a sports reporter, at the very beginning of the show, talking about, you know, all of the stuff that happened at the Super Bowl and everything. But you forgot to mention the shit that happened at the little white ball tournament that was on, with all the drunks and all of that hoopla going on out there in the crowd, you know, and everything. I mean, I can't believe that you didn't do that. I'm not a white ball fan, but you know, the thing is that if the crowd is going to be like that and get so enthused and stuff, I may have to start watching it just to watch the crowd, you know, it'd be kind of like the Taylor Swift effect. Okay.
Well, so what Boyd's referring to is at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, the 16th hole, the tournament's run by the Thunderbirds, and the 16th hole is a par 3. And the Thunderbirds, they started out with putting stands up around the 16th hole. And then they've now fully enclosed it. It's three levels. There's over 10,000 people that amass around the 16th hole. And when a golfer hits a poor tee shot, they boo him. And if a golfer should get a hole in one on that hole, the fans go crazy. But they're drinking from the time they get there until, you know, when it's TV time at 4 o'clock in Eastern time in the afternoon, these people are ossified. And it actually, yeah, they go crazy. They absolutely go crazy. It's not a venue I'd want every week though.
But I mean, you can't not, you know, mention the classic snow angel in the sand trap, you know, that the guy did.
Yeah, it's a little raucous.
Or the guy walking around in his wedding gown, you know.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but.
Well, you know, still, I thought golf was the last sport in the frickin' world that had any fucking class, you know. But obviously, you know, your sport is going to hell there, Vito.
Yeah, it's this. Thank you.
Let me get out of here and get on with your rants.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right.
Good
bye.
Call.
Yeah, he's right. It gets a little raucous at the Waste Management Open, so Phoenix Open. But, you know, with regards to Joe Biden and this shrinkflation, you know, here you have a guy that caused the highest inflation in 40 years. His policies, the Obama alumni policies, they were absolutely disastrous right out of the box, January 20, 2021. Why? Because they did away with energy independence. America then became energy reliant. You're talking about gas prices at the pump being the highest ever. And it didn't just impact you and me, the consumer. It impacted business as well. Because transportation costs for goods to bring them from, you know, the manufacturer or ports to businesses absolutely skyrocketed. I mean, in Florida, in Georgia, $5 a gallon for gasoline, and on January the 1st of 2021, we're paying $1.89 a gallon, 300%. And in California, $9 a gallon. So for Joe Biden now, in an election year, to suddenly distract Americans with his disinformation and misinformation, it's the propaganda of the left wing. I mean, it's great. He's come up with a new cliche. Shrinkflation. Well, things have gotten so, Joe, why has your ice cream gotten smaller? Why did Breyers reduce the container size of the ice cream? Why? Because the cost to manufacture those items has gone up ridiculously thanks to your energy policies, thanks to you and the Obama alumni signing on to the Agenda 30, to the climate change hoax, signing on to the World Economic Forum's Great Reset, signing on to the Paris Accord, and taking America off of energy independence. So now we're reliant upon OPEC. We're reliant upon the Russians. We're reliant upon Iran. We're reliant upon Venezuela for oil. Instead of producing it here in the United States like we did under President Trump. But the idea of installing Joe Biden was to undo everything Trump did. And now, less than 4 years later, 1,200 days later, you've got Joe Biden walking away and distracting America from his own policies, his failed economic policies that are causing real pain to Americans. It's causing the highest credit card debt by consumers ever, $1.15 trillion. And that's a direct result of the disastrous economic policies put forth by Joe Biden, Border Czar Harris, and the Obama alumni team, including Susan Rice, including Jake Sullivan. I mean, this is incredible. Last September, Bigfoot put gas prices in California $6.09 a gallon. That's 350% higher than when Joe Biden was installed as president of the United States. And somehow he's allowed to backtrack and walk away from that because the U.S. media is so in bed with the Democrat Party that they absolutely turn a blind eye to the utter failure Biden economic program. This Biden, the Biden-Harris program has been an utter disaster. But what it's done is exactly what the Marxists want, and that is to indenture more and more people to the federal government. Be reliant upon the federal government for your existence. In the meantime, we've got over 12 million illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens pouring through our borders. And not only are states now being inundated with illegal aliens, but it's busting their budgets. And it's all due to the Biden-Harris agenda and following the global Marxist agenda of Agenda 30. Look it up. The 2030 agenda, as put forth by the United Nations, is exactly what Joe Biden, Kamala Harris have been following. That is anti-American. That is anti-constitutional. And tomorrow, the House is again going to vote whether to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Apparently, Steve Scalise was treated for cancer. It was in the hospital during the last vote, and now he's back. He'll be back on the floor. So will the U.S. House have the intestinal fortitude to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas for his failure to uphold the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, and allowed for the invasion of the United States, shirking his duty as the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security? How was it that for 4 years or for 3 years, the U.S. border was under control under President Trump and Tom Holman, the acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security? And as soon as Mayorkas is put in place, he was an Obama alumni, the floodgates are open. And you have 140 different countries now have citizens pouring through our borders and causing our borders, our America, to be unsecure, and thereby violating Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. How? How does that happen? So, once again, the U.S. House is set to vote on whether to impeach Mayorkas. You know, I've heard comments on both sides. I know there's one Republican, McClintock, I believe it is, from Texas or California, who stated that he's not going to vote for the impeachment of Mayorkas because this is, you know, a tit for tat. If the Republicans do, you know, excuse me, hold on a second, okay? And I'm going to get to Nancy Pelosi, and we'll get to her in a little bit. But each and every member of Congress puts their hand up, and they swear to protect and defend the United States Constitution. Every member of the cabinet, of the president's cabinet, puts his or her hand up, and they take an oath to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. And they have intentionally failed to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. They have intentionally failed because they are adhering to global policies. They're adhering to the globalists. You know what? The UN 2030 agenda has no place in the United States of America because the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So says Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution. And every member of Congress, all 535 members, every member of the U.S. Cabinet, every U.S. Cabinet member takes that same oath of office, and they've betrayed the American people. They have betrayed their oath of office, and they have violated the U.S. Constitution. And at what point do we hold these individuals accountable for their actions? Apparently, we don't have to do that any longer because they have that much disrespect and disdain for the United States of America and the Constitution of the United States. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow, Al?
Well said.
Thank you.
I was just going to go back to the Mayorkas impeachment. I don't think the Republicans could impeach a ham sandwich. It's so dysfunctional.
I think, you know, I'll tell you, I really do feel as though we are witnessing an establishment. You know, it was a cliche to use the term establishment. Maybe it's a cliche to use the term Washington, D.C. syndicate or a cabal. But, you know, after what's occurred over the last 1,200 days and with the installation of Joe Biden and now the revelation, you brought it up earlier with Holger, the revelation that Biden's possession of classified documents and Biden willfully disclosing that classified material as a private citizen, he's not going to face charges because of a degeneration of his memory, and he's an elderly man. That's not bogus. If that's not a Department of Justice protecting and shielding Joe Biden I don't know what is. How is it that a former U.S. Senator, Joe Biden, a former vice president, possesses classified material, classified documents, has them in binders, and we are told that if a member of Congress, that would be a member of the House or the Senate, removes classified documents from a room that they're in, it's illegal. They've committed a crime. And not only did Joe Biden remove documents as a U.S. senator, but he held them in no less than four separate locations, including the Penn Biden Center. What's the significance of the Penn Biden Center? The Penn Biden Center was financed by the communist Chinese to the tune of $70 million. And Biden maintained an office. Not only that, Biden maintained an office in Chinatown in Washington, D.C. So I want to know if the communist Chinese own that building where that office is located. And the question that nobody's asking, the questions nobody's asking, okay, special counselor, her stated that Biden willfully disclosed classified material as a private citizen. Who did he disclose the classified material to? Penn Biden Center, where the communist Chinese financed that office? Chinatown, where the communist Chinese have set up police stations in New York City? And I'm sure they've done so in Washington, D.C., because it's a stone's throw from the U.S. government. So the communist Chinese are monitoring our U.S. government. He had it in his garage, where there supposedly there was this big house fire that the fireman had access to, including his drug-addicted son, who was selling out the Biden family. So who did Biden willfully disclose classified material to as a private citizen? And because Joe Biden is a member of the good old boys Senate club, does that mean that Joe Biden is immune from any type of prosecution, including treason? Because he's a lifetime member of the Senate good old boys club, and he's immune from any type of prosecution? This is unbelievable what the Department of Justice is covering up in order to shield Joe Biden.
Well, not only are they trying to shield Joe Biden, they made the assumption of his intent, which you touched on a little bit, but they made the intent that he is old and feeble, therefore his intent was not, because he doesn't remember half of the documents that were in the trove of classified documents. They said that since he didn't know what half the documents were, that his intent was not malice, or he didn't have ill intent to do anything nefarious with all of these documents. It kind of sounds like the Hillary Clinton emails, and they had a Comey moment. Remember when Jim Comey decided that the intent, that Hillary Clinton had no intent of doing anything nefarious with those classified emails. Therefore, that was the end. Game over on that infraction.
Right.
And that's how it went down, in my opinion.
I
if you think I'm wrong, call in. I want to hear from you. Challenge me, please.
Yeah, how in the world does the Department of Justice justify this? How do they justify it because Joe Biden is elderly? And then Joe Biden comes back and says, "Hold on a second. I'm perfectly sane." Well, excuse me then. You can't have it both ways. So here's Nancy Pelosi, okay? If you could stomach this. Here's Nancy Pelosi. She's trying to – at last year she was dumping on Trump with regards to classified documents, okay? And how seriously they in Congress take this. Now, mind you, she fails to make the statement that President Trump is protected under the Presidential Records Act, which five of the presidents have also been protected under, including Barack Obama, George W., George H.W., Ronald Reagan, okay, and Bill Clinton. But here is Nancy Pelosi, okay? Here she is talking about, it's 1 minute and 32 seconds, how seriously she takes protection of classified documents.
There are laws against the improper handling of this material. There
Unless
are laws against that. And the we have to recognize that. This information, as it is coming across, and we'll know more later, is highly classified, well above top secret.
Ooh.
It is, again, higher than top secret. It's top secret SCI. It is, it's about our national security, as we are told, and we'll see how deeply it goes into that. So I think our concern is always to protect and defend. And protecting and defending means we do not frivolously treat the documents that relate to perhaps, as they're saying, and we'll find out, again, all alleged at this point. I don't know any more than is in the public domain. Everybody's holding it very tightly. That that if the nature of this of these documents is what appears to be, this is very serious. You would think there would be an adult in the Republican room that would say, just calm down, see what the facts are, and let's go for that, instead of, instigating assaults.
So here's the former Speaker of the House, okay, talks about national security, and there are laws against, okay, possessing these documents. So if there are laws against retaining classified material, classified documents, then why isn't Hillary Rodham Clinton in jail? All right? Why isn't Joe Biden being prosecuted for being a private citizen possessing classified documents and willfully disclosing the classified documents? Did he disclose them to the Ukrainians? Did he disclose them to the Russians? Did he disclose them to the communist Chinese? No one's answering that question. And yet Nancy Pelosi wants to make it sound so important that Donald Trump be prosecuted for exercising his privilege under the Presidential Records Act, which Joe Biden doesn't have privilege for, never did. So if Joe Biden possessed classified documents, it means he stole them. So once again, the corrupt lying Biden is going to be protected species inside of Washington, D.C. Is it perhaps because he's a member of the Senate Good Old Boys Club? And therefore, being the ultimate insider, it doesn't matter what Joe Biden has done. You know, Nancy Pelosi was clear. We should be concerned because their job is to protect and defend. Oh, really? Unless, of course, it's Joe Biden because he's senile, because he's an elderly man. All these excuses, okay? And furthermore, it was Nancy Pelosi who made the attempt to disqualify Trump based on the 25th Amendment. Remember, they wanted to replace President Trump in the last few months of his term because of the 25th Amendment, because he was mentally unstable. Well, if that's the case, then why are we prosecuting President Trump? I'll tell you why we're prosecuting President. I'll tell you why they are prosecuting President Trump. Why they are prosecuting President Trump, it goes to the very last bullet point under the Presidential Records Act. Prevents an individual who has been convicted of a crime related to the review, retention, removal, or destruction of records from being given access to any original records. They want to make sure they get some sort of indictment, some sort of charges filed, a conviction against President Trump for something criminal. It doesn't matter that he's protected under the Presidential Records Act. That's irrelevant by the corrupt Department of Justice. It's irrelevant by the corrupt Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni regime. It's irrelevant because the end game is to get rid of Donald Trump and to squash the Make America Great movement.
squash it, just like they squashed the Tea Party, just like they squashed James Rosen. It's imperative that they squash any opposition to their main objective, and that main objective is very simple. That main objective is to dismantle our constitutional republic. Joe Biden stole those documents, those classified documents, as a U.S. senator. Joe Biden stole those classified documents as a vice president. He did not have the ability to possess those classified documents. The next question is, what did the corrupt Joe Biden do when he willfully disclosed those documents? Who did he willfully disclose them to? And what information was on those classified documents? Because it takes just one classified document to breach a covert operation. One document to breach covert operations. And that means that Joe Biden has placed national security in jeopardy, and now the same corrupt individual, Joe Biden, is at the helm. And it's his DOJ that is shielding, protecting him from any type of scrutiny and making excuses for him for being a well-meaning, elderly, old man. Well, here's Biden in his own words that says that he's well. He doesn't have any issues. And if that's the case, he can't have it both ways.
President Biden, something the special counsel said in his report is that one of the reasons you were not charged is because, in his description, you are a well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory.
I'm well-meaning, and I'm an elderly man, and I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been president, and I put this country back on its feet. I don't need his recommendation. It's
how
totally
bad
out.
Is your...
So, Joe Biden says he's well. So, guess what? Joe Biden can't have it both ways. He either needs to be charged with the crime of stealing classified documents and possessing as an individual citizen, as a private citizen, and willfully disclosing those documents, or he needs to be removed because of his cognitive issues. He should not have access to the nuclear codes. He should not have the keys to the White House, to the national security of this United States. But you know what, Al? The government is corrupt enough to rally around a corrupt individual like Joe Biden because he's part of that institution. You know, it's why Chuck Schumer shields Joe Biden. It's why Mitch McConnell comes to his rescue. And we have to be concerned now. We have a compromised attorney general in Merrick Garland who has a personal animus for the opposition party, and he's weaponized the Department of Justice to go after the political opponents. So either Joe Biden needs to be charged with willfully possessing classified documents, or he needs to be removed from office. I hope he's not removed from office because this malleable simpleton needs to be held accountable for being an utter failure to the American people. He's nothing but a corrupt little man. And there's got to be people in the U.S. government who have some sort of integrity. And I know using the word integrity and a U.S. politician is a stretch. But it seems like there is no more integrity inside of our government. You know, on one hand, Nancy Pelosi is saying we have laws against, you know, possessing classified documents, and we should be concerned about protecting and defending. And it's another one to excuse the actions of Joe Biden, who willfully disclosed fide material. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. He should be charged with treason.
He should, but now they're saying, well, if they're not going to go after Biden, then they're not going to go after Trump, even though the two are completely different.
Hmm. Yeah, let's see.
As president, Donald Trump could declassify all of those documents. He had the constitutional right to do it. Joe Biden did not. It's apples and oranges.
Correct.
Joe Biden should be in jail. And it was written in many publications that he had given classified information to his autobiographer. The problem lies, in my opinion, with the Republican Party because they don't have the balls to go after him and whether they get the votes or not to with articles of impeachment, because the Democrats sure went after and are still going after Trump with baseless charge after charge after charge from the J6. They're trying to bring up the 14th Amendment, that's saying that there was an insurrection when there was no charges of insurrection for Trump or anybody else that was arrested. It's all bogus.
It is.
What's going on?
And no one is asking the question, who did Joe Biden willfully disclose the documents to? Was it the Russians? Was it the Ukrainians? Is that why he's so adamant about giving another $60.4 billion to Ukraine, pissing America's money away? Or was it the communist Chinese?
The great money laundering scheme?
Yes,
Ukraine.
Correct. Ukraine, right? The money laundering?
Yep.
You know, it's truly amazing the length at which the establishment is going to sanitize Joe Biden, to legitimize Joe Biden. Well, you know, he's a well-meaning elderly man. Excuse me. That doesn't fly. He committed a crime. There are plenty of elderly people who commit crimes that should be prosecuted, including Joe Biden. But let's look at President Trump. Had documents in Mar-a-Lago in a safe, okay? Not the and put aside the grandstanding of the FBI, which was used as a weapon by Merrick Garland and Joe Biden. Had documents in a classified documents in a safe, a locked safe that was also Secret Service protected. Unlike Joe Biden, who had documents freely in his garage, which firemen had access to, which his cocaine drug-riddled son had access to, had documents in the Penn Biden Center, which the communist Chinese invested over $70 million in building the Penn Biden Center, where the communist Chinese also have an office, and in Chinatown in Washington, D.C. Now, I don't know at what point do politicians in the United States get concerned, but we are witnessing one of the greatest cover-ups and the Americans being scammed in a quest to dismantle our constitutional republic. I mean, this is unbelievable that a former U.S. senator and a former U.S. vice president stole classified documents, and because now he's elderly, we shouldn't prosecute him. Therefore, this elderly meaning man, he shouldn't even be president of the United States, let alone dog catcher of the United States. And it took one member of the media to question Biden direct. And this is another reason why Biden's handlers don't have him do press conferences. Because Biden is unfit to serve as president of the United States, and the handlers don't want it known to the American people. We see it because it can't avoid it. When you have dementia, you can't hide it. When you have Alzheimer's, you can't hide it. And so now the front is he met with the king of Jordan. Okay, like now we're supposed to legitimize, okay? Joe Biden is legitimized. Well, in that case, then, Joe Biden should be brought up on charges because he's not a well-meaning elderly man. If he's president of the United States, like we're told he is, he's accountable for his actions. But apparently, Joe Biden doesn't have to be accountable for his actions because he's a well-meaning elderly man.
I guess there's no other mechanisms, and I guess there's no other mechanisms to bypass that lame Comey-like determination.
Nope, they were successful in skirting and shielding Hillary Rotten Clinton, and the fact that she destroyed 30,000 emails, the fact that she had a private server with sensitive and classified information on the server, and yet she's walking the streets. She's not held accountable. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was in bed with the Awan brothers, Iranian nationals who had access to her house classified material, not to mention when she was DNC chair. And little Debbie escapes any type of scrutiny for rigging a Democrat primary presidential election, not to mention the three Awan brothers, where, what, two of them are gone? They went back to Iran? What information that they have access to when they were Debbie Wasserman Schultz IT guys? Was she banging one of those guys? They're Iranian nationals, and yet she's not held accountable. So apparently there's a two-tiered justice system. One tier is if you're embedded inside of the U.S. government and you're part of the establishment, you face no scrutiny for your anti-American actions. But if you're Donald Trump, you are subject to a whole set of different rules, including the Presidential Records Act does not exist for you. Well, I mean, let's face it. Joe Biden was installed to undo everything President Trump did, so now he would be an afterthought. And now you've got the little Joe Biden blaming Trump for the border issue, when in fact it was Joe Biden's policies, or I should say his feckless policies at the border, that caused the chaos that's ensued. I mean, Tom Homan, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security under President Trump, had the border closed. They had the border closed. They absolutely kept America, they had America's national security first and foremost, and Biden doesn't. In addition to that, they've taken illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens, and they've transported them throughout the United States, including Massachusetts, including Chicago, Illinois, New York City, Cape Cod. And now, and look at the chaos that's ensued. Budgets are being busted as a result of the open border policy, which is part of the United Nations 2030 agenda. It is no coincidence this has happened. It's no coincidence that Joe Biden and the Obama alumni put Alejandro Mayorkas in as the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security. Of course, the United States Senate had to confirm him, but that was easy because the United States Senate is part of that good old boy system. Alejandro Mayorkas was just following orders of the Biden, Border Czar Harris anti-American policy, the pro-United Nation policy. Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution. It states, the Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. That means that the United Nations Agenda 2030, the 2030 agenda, is null and void in the United States. That means the UN Small Arm Treaty is null and void in the United States. That means that the Second Amendment takes precedent over the United Nations Small Arm Treaty. That means that the OIC Resolution 1618 is null and void in the United States. So when Hillary Rodham Clinton approached then Attorney General Eric Holder to implement UN Resolution 1618 to control speech in the United States, okay, that would have been illegal. But these globalists like Hillary Rodham Clinton and Joe Biden, they don't care about the legality of it. They don't care about the U.S. Constitution. And yet the U.S. Constitution is quite clear. The U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution is really clear. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. It's not difficult. And yet we have an administration, the Biden Border Czar Harris regime, has allowed the invasion of the United States. And we have a Department of Justice that is so corrupt
under Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, that they have found ways not to prosecute Joe Biden for treason, for willfully sharing classified documents. But we don't know with who. Was it the Ukrainians? Was it the Russians? Was it the communist Chinese? Was it all three? Was it the Romanians? Joe Biden is so corrupt that now we're excusing him because he is a elderly man. See, this is what it's boiled down to. The rule of law means absolutely nothing any longer, at least for those that are the indentured establishment individuals, whether they're in the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House. They don't care what we the people want. You know, Steve Cohen, a representative from Tennessee, this anti-American jamoke. Well, I can't believe the way people didn't stand for the Black National Anthem. There is no Black National Anthem. We have one anthem in the United States. It's called the Star-Spangled Banner. I mean, at what point do we call out these individuals for what they are? They're anti-Americans. They're anti-constitutionalists. Joe Biden broke the law. Remember, it was Nancy Pelosi in our drunken stupor who stated that, you know, we're concerned to protect and defend. And she puts her right hand up while she's making this oration to try to slap down President Trump. Well, how come it doesn't apply to Joe Biden? What's his name? In the Clinton regime, he went to jail for stealing classified documents out of the National Archives. Sandy Berger. Well, his record should be expunged now. He's a Democrat. He knew what he was doing. But maybe he's just he's an elderly man now. And you should be kind to these elderly individuals. God.
No, shouldn't be kind to them. The law is the law, and the law should be enforced equally for everybody. But how naive I am, because it is just not true, because, as you said, there's a two-tier justice system here now in the United States. And is there recovery from that? Is our cultural revolution is going on full force? If you want to learn more about that, I recommend a book by Christopher Rufo, the American Cultural Revolution, and it's an excellent book. It goes into great detail about it. So
Christopher,
can we come back from this cultural revolution? Rufo, R-U-F-O.
Rufo.
Yep, and you can get it in the library. I got it in the library.
Okay. I don't know, Al. I'll tell you what. I think this election in 2024, we've heard all the noise in the past, but truly, this election is going to be very telling. This will determine, I think, the fate of our constitutional republic. I think the Obamas have worked very hard, along with other anti-Americans like George Soros, like Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, to implement their Marxist ideology. And certainly, it is to drive a wedge racially, which they've done and they continue to do. And in doing so, it's to fracture society. Now, the problem that the Obamas have at this point is that more and more Black Americans are standing up and they're understanding that the Democrat Party has used and abused them. And at some point in time, they do have to be honest and say, look, we're Americans. Okay, this government is for all the people. You know, we've made mistakes over the years, but we've righted the wrong, and we've attempted to do so. All this woke garbage is all a distraction. Okay, you have Biden sitting there with his the inflation message yesterday. You know, at the Super Bowl, that's a distraction. It's all a distraction. Because it's Joe Biden who caused this. It is the Biden-Harris-Obama alumni who caused all this. So this election is truly meaningful in a sense that I don't think Donald Trump is the Jesus Christ, okay? But I do think that he's enough of an outsider that he's caused agita to the insiders inside of Washington, D.C.,
the bureaucrats who are threatened, that their way of life is going to be threatened. It's just like Milei of Argentina. What did he do? How many departments did he terminate immediately becoming president of Argentina? Something like 16 or 26 departments have been absolutely just terminated. And it's the same here. You know, U.S. aid, that should be reduced from a $50 billion budget to a $1 budget. And the head of U.S. aid should take an unpaid position in dismantling U.S. aid. Why? Because U.S. aid has paid for, has sponsored the invasion of the United States. One, by supporting the Norwegian Refugee Council. Two, by supporting the Red Cross, which both organizations have received money from U.S. aid and are sponsoring illegal aliens coming into the border, crossing America's borders. And that's Samantha Power. She's a Marxist. She's an Obama Marxist. She believes in that chaos. So President Trump creates agita to the bureaucrats because they don't want their gravy train to be upended. USAID has 10,000 employees. It has a budget of $50 billion. The United Nations, the UNRWA, now has found that they were aiding and abetting Hamas. They were keeping computers. They were also providing electricity to tunnels. Why are we giving money to the UNRWA? United Nations refugee, huh? Why are we giving money to the United Nations who seeks to undermine the United States of America and our allies? I mean, the revelation that's come out with regards to UNRWA and how they've aided and abetted a foreign terrorist organization, Hamas, is reprehensible. And so countries now have started pulling back their support of RWNA, and now the United Nations is going ballistic. Well, excuse me, you can't have it both ways. You're supporting a terrorist organization. Oh, and anybody else who supports a foreign terrorist organization like Hamas, like the Muslim Brotherhood who's active in the United States, like the Muslim Brotherhood who is sitting inside the executive branch of the White House, they need to be removed from the United States. They should be put up on charges for treason. They should all be deported because they're seeking to undermine the United States of America. Over 100 employees inside the executive branch of government have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. And we wonder why Joe Biden goes out there today with the King of Jordan and he starts reciting or reading from the teleprompter the Hamas talking points. 10,000 children have been killed. More than 1 million Palestinians have been killed in the bombings by Israel. Excuse me. You're using Hamas, a foreign terrorist organization's numbers, to report what Israel is doing. And yet you still have Hamas and the leadership calling for the annihilation and destruction of Israel. I mean, pandering fool that we have, okay? He's more than just a malleable simpleton. He's a malleable moron. It is unbelievable what we're witnessing today. How is it? How is it that we have to be subjected to this type of anti-Americanism that comes right out of the Biden, Obama, and Harris regime? How is it? And they're using terms from Hamas, Al. You know the statistics coming out by Hamas are all bullshit, and yet the foreign terrorist organization Hamas is dictating the talking points that Biden is reading. I couldn't believe it.
Well, the squad is all Democrats, and Israeli forces discovered the tunnel network that were hundreds of yards long and running partly under the United Nations RWA, the Relief Gaza headquarters. And Army engineers took reporters for foreign news outlets through a passage at a time of crisis for UNRWA, which has launched an internal probe and seen a string of donor countries freeze funding over allegations last month by Israel that some of its staff doubled as Hamas operatives. And some of the United Nations staff was also part of the October 7th raid that murdered 1,200 civilians. In fact, they still have babies that are hostages in Gaza. Hamas does. It's disgusting. And the headquarters in Gaza City, among the northern areas that Israeli troops and tanks overran early in the four-month-old war against the governing Islamist faction, are sending hundreds of thousands of civilians fleeing southward. And so they took the press down there into these tunnels, and there's some stories, but very few, coming out blaming Hamas.
Right?
And you've got President Biden siding with Hamas, calling for a two-state solution. And if you recall, back in 2005, Israel disengaged from Gaza. That means that they literally moved. They had cities in Gaza about the size of Sedona, Arizona. That many people, they had all the makings of a city. They had infrastructure. They had businesses that were having $20 to $30 million worth of agricultural exports. And in 2005, Israel uprooted its people and every Israeli out of Gaza. So therefore, Gaza would be wholly under Palestinian rule. Hamas soon took over, and the hope was Israel did that for this mythical two-state solution, and they hoped that once all the Israelis left, that the Europeans would start investing in this new Gaza territory. Mm-hmm. And the investments never happened from the Europeans. And then Hamas took over, and then they built it, as we've just learned just a few months ago. They built over 500 miles worth of command and control tunnels to conduct operations against Israel, whether it be rockets, whether it be, just basic command and control, a place to keep hostages, like they're keeping babies, the elderly, now, still there. They turned Gaza into a jihadi camp, one of the largest ever. And they expect a two-state solution. My hope is that Bibi Netanyahu and the fighting is finally over and they take full control of Gaza, that they just bulldoze it and then take it over as Israeli territory and build, baby, build, and turn that Mediterranean coastline into another Tel Aviv.
Well, beneath the Gaza Strip headquarters of the controversial United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees, known commonly as UNRWA, the Hamas group hid one of the most significant assets the Israeli military has revealed, the subterranean data center, an electrical room, industrial battery power banks, and living quarters for Hamas terrorists operating the computer servers, was built precisely under the location where Israel would not consider looking initially, let alone target in an airstrike. So here you have now, for the last 20 years, you have the foreign terrorist organization Hamas, who has been ruling Gaza, keeping their citizens in Gaza in squalor, in such poor living conditions. In the meantime, the top brass for Hamas, what, 3 to 5 individuals, are worth billions each, billions of dollars each. While the people, while the Gazans suffered as a result of Hamas's control, not only that, the countries who donate to the UNRWA, such as the United States, such as Argentina, such as the UK, that money was being used to build subterranean data centers complete with an electrical room, industrial battery power banks, and living quarters for Hamas terrorists who are operating the computer servers. So, folks, this is something that you won't see or hear on CNN or MSNBC as they become apologists for the Hamas terrorist organization. And certainly, devout fundamental Muslims like Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmad are not going to speak out against their fellow Gazans, their fellow Palestinians, because they see Hamas as freedom fighters. They despise Israel, such as does Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib and the representative from Mogadishu, incestuous Ilhan Omar. They know exactly what Hamas is doing and has done. The IDF has now discovered that there are between 350 and 450 miles of tunnels under Gaza. Think about that. Forget about what your bias is. If, in fact, the people of Gaza were suffering, how is it that the government of Gaza, which was run by Hamas, which was elected by the people of Gaza, the Palestinians, how do they allow 350 to 450 miles of tunnels to be built under Gaza? And we're not talking about a tunnel that you would see, you know, breaking out of Alcatraz. We're talking about elaborate tunnels, concrete-filled tunnels with flowing air. That takes money, folks. That takes a ingenuity. And if you're using money that's earmarked for the Gazans, that means you're using Gazans as pawns to further your radical Islamic agenda. And there's no such thing as a radical Islam. It's a fundamental Islamist. And therefore, the United States government should shut down the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations for their ties to Hamas. It's already been proven under the Holy Land Foundation trial. We already know the relationship of Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad when they were both working for the Islamic Association for Palestine. And shame on the Southern Poverty Law Center for being in bed with these individuals, because all the SPLC thinks about is money. They're quick to attack organizations who are pro-American, who are pro-Constitution. And yet, because they get money from the Muslim Brotherhood, they glom on to this phony Islamophobia cliche that was created by the Muslim Brotherhood to instill fear into those who did not believe in their mission. And now we're finding out how Hamas used the world's money that was meant to take care of the Palestinians in Gaza, the Gazans. And not a peep from the Muslim Brotherhood front groups. Not a peep. Because in the end, they despise Israel, because that's what Allah wrote in this thing called the Quran. Do not take Jews and Christians as your friends, as they are friends of one another. Go to war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. And it's exactly what Iran did, provoke the believers. It's exactly what Hamas does on a daily basis. They provoke the believers. They control the minds of the youths in Gaza. How do they do that? They teach the children to hate the Israelis. 5 IDF soldiers and you kill 3. How many IDF soldiers are left? That's how they taught math. That's how they teach math. The word of Allah, chapter 9, verse 5, aggregates 124 verses of the Quran. Here, chapter 9, Verse 5. Lost the page. So when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give legal alms, so they leave their way free. And what did they do on October 7th? What have they done in Islamic countries across the world, Nigeria? Remember when Michelle Obama, oh, bring back our girls. You know, in Nigeria, when the Islamists kidnapped 100 young girls, we haven't heard anything about that. Well, Michelle Obama made a sign, you know, bring back our girls. Oh, that's so powerful. Another blunder from an Obama. Kill the polytheists wherever you find them. Take them as captive. And you have Israelis from October 7th who are still captive. And congratulations to the IDF. Al, right? They saw it and they got two more hostages released in a raid that they conducted. So congratulations to the IDF. The UN remains silent.
Yeah, and this was no easy raid either. The raid went down. It was they had a house with a tunnel underneath where they had the hostages, and then the surrounding houses, they had Palestinian fighters, Hamas fighters, were in the four buildings surrounding that one building where the hostages were. They knew the Israelis were coming, so they set up an ambush, and then they started firing, and then the Israelis rushed the building, and then they had air support that took out the other four buildings. Scores of Hamas fighters were killed in the fighting. Israel had one soldier injured. They rescued the two hostages alive and then brought them back home.
That is unbelievable. I mean, the Israeli Defense Forces are just unbelievable. I mean, they are really, they're proud men and women who believe in their country, and they are going to survive and they are going to prevail. I believe, because they have to prevail over hatred. This sheer hatred of Israel cannot win.
Yeah, but Israel is not invincible.
No.
The massacre when the Palestinians rushed the fence and the gate, I always thought, and wrongly so, that the Israelis were invincible, their border system was impenetrable, and I had a false sense of security from what everything that I was told on the multiple trips that we were over there. But it ends up the fences, and somebody made a good point that I hadn't thought of, is that the fences did work, but they weren't constructed for a breach onslaught at 20 different locations. They were built to keep one and twos out, maybe fives or tens, and it was successful at that, but a full military breach of hundreds of people with heavy machinery, not the case. And Israel was caught flat-footed. And as an effect, and part of it was with Biden and Obama's help, because they were sending in people to sabotage Netanyahu's power base in Israel, and they still are, because Obama and the United States actively worked against Netanyahu during his reelection, and they divided the country. They provided money and communications and tactical support for the Democrats or the liberals in Israel, of which there's maybe, I don't know, maybe half. So Israel was divided and primed for attack, but the result is that Israel is uniting and fighting back. Now, what happens the day after will be very, very important. But God willing, we'll kick Hamas's ass, get him the hell out of there, and then we'll see what happens.
You know, Hamas doesn't want peace. And I think it might have been Red Dog, who is a Twitter friend, you know, posted something of that nature. If you go to Jihad Watch, there's an interview of a Hamas member, a female, And she said the goal is not to just destroy Israel, but to spread Islam everywhere. And when I watched that video, and she was saying it in Arabic, and it was being, it had caption in English. And I thought it ironic, because the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations, CARE, was founded by two Gazans, two Palestinians, Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmad. And Omar Ahmad, the co-founder of CARE, gave an interview to a lady, which she has never backtracked. She has never, she stands by her reporting. She stated, Omar Ahmad gave the following quote, "Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam, the only accepted religion on earth." And you notice how Hamas, okay, a foreign terrorist organization, their goal is not just to destroy Israel, but to spread Islam everywhere. That's the Wahhabi goal. That is Islam's goal. And funny, it's the same goal which Omar Ahmad of CARE stated, a Muslim Brotherhood front group. Islam is not in America to be equal, but become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam, the only accepted religion on earth. And the Muslim Brotherhood goes a step further, which the Muslim Brotherhood supports Hamas, supports CARE, supports the North American Islamic Trust, supports the Islamic Institute of Thought, the IIIT. This is the Muslim Brotherhood's plan of action. It's called the explanatory memorandum. The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process. With all the word means, the Ikhwan, the Brotherhood, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Now, the statement by the Hamas operative, our goal is to spread Islam everywhere, is the same message the Muslim Brotherhood crafted in 2004. It's the same message that was recited by Omar Ahmad of CARE, who's operating freely inside the United States, who supports Hamas, a foreign terrorist organization. So at what point do we take, what point do we listen? Do we understand what the strategy is by Islam? I'm not saying every Muslim in the United States is a terrorist. That's not what I'm saying. But when you have a fundamental ideology that believes that they are supreme over all others, and that is the end game, we should not allow them to act freely inside the United States. We have so many problems in the United States now, and thank you to the left-wingers, thank you to the Marxists, who are trying to create chaos in the United States, inundating us with out-of-control actions, open borders, high inflation, energy crisis, okay? American people just trying to make it. And the end game for Islam is still the same. So all this noise about the about Hamas, and you've got these students and this movement all across the world, you know, they want to stop the war. Hamas doesn't want the war to stop, because the end game is to destroy Israel and to spread Islam everywhere. And they're telling you. They're telling you and me. This wasn't something that was said in 1992 or 1932. This was said just last week by a member of Hamas. We continue to be vindicated,
Al.
Go ahead.
The second paragraph of the Hamas charter states that Islam will obliterate Israel as Islam has obliterated others before it. And it's not Hamas. This is in the Hamas charter, and it's not Hamas. It's saying Islam will obliterate Israel as it obliterated others before it. And that's what people miss. They think of Hamas as being a terrorist group, which it is, but Islam is the fuel that drives it. So whether it's Hamas, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, you name it, the Hezbollah, it doesn't matter whether they're Shia, they're, it's all about Islam. It's a theocratic war, and we're fighting a religious enemy, and that's what makes them so deadly. And the only thing that really stopped them was Donald Trump. When he came up with the Abraham Accords, he formed a union of the Sunni Arab Muslims because they fear the Shia Muslims, the Iranians, more than they fear Israel. So these Arab Muslims, they formed the Abraham Accords to protect themselves against the Iranians. Until President Biden still hasn't completely destroyed it, but it certainly hasn't grown or prospered. He's put every stressor on the Abraham Accords that he could. So there is hope, and there is a solution, but the current policies come from the Biden administration are just creating the chaos that we're seeing around the world, and that's by design. Because out of chaos is revolution, and out of revolution is an end to capitalism in America at all costs, and then there will be a socialist Marxist utopia where there will be, where everyone will be equal, everyone will have health care, everyone will be treated fairly and equitably with all others. And it's never been successful anywhere in the world. In fact, the closest thing that came to it was during the Floyd riots in San Francisco. There was they took over three or four city blocks in San Francisco, and they called it Chaz, C-H-A-Z. And they took full control. The police left. There were no police going in, and they were left to their own devices. The murder rate shot up 4,300%. There was total chaos, and then after a month, they fell apart, and they were dismantled. So it hasn't worked anywhere, and it hasn't worked recently. And how come we see it so clearly and nobody else does? That's the big question.
Well, I think in part it has to do with the campaign launched by the Muslim Brotherhood has been brilliant over the years. They started early. And, you know, George W. Bush legitimized the Muslim Brotherhood when he stated that Islam means peace, and Islam does not mean peace. It means submission. When time to research and read and understand Islam, okay? And a lot of people don't have the temperament for that, and truly, I understand it, okay? When America is attacked, like we were on 9/11, we have to learn who the enemy is. And the Muslim Brotherhood went on the offensive immediately. And they went on the offensive with this phony campaign of Islamophobia. Islamophobia is a fictitious word, just like the Black National Anthem is a fictitious thing. But it's meant to instill fear. And the Southern Poverty Law Center adopted that because they, you know, there were great donations made to the Southern Poverty Law Center by Islamic organizations. And, you know, to sit there and say that Saudi Arabia funded 19 Muslim men to attack America on 9/11, why? Well, you know what? Read the Quran. There's one verse after another. Chapter 9, verse 5. I read it earlier. Kill the polytheists wherever you find them. Chapter 4, verse 71. Go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. You know, it's the instruction manual to attack the West. And at some point in time, we have to understand this is a mission statement. And the Hamas individual, the lady who the woman who was on was being interviewed when she said the goal is not only to destroy Israel but to spread Islam around the world. That's the end game. Believe it. It's not something that we're making up. But you know what? We've been asleep and we've been distracted for too long. And you know, the Democrat Party has aligned itself with the Muslim Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood has aligned itself with the Democrat Party. They have one thing in common. They despise our constitutional republic. And when Omar Ahmad of CARE states that Islam is not in America to be equal but to become dominant and the Quran should be the highest authority in America, that means that the Quran, Sharia, is meant to supplant the U.S. Constitution. That's the end game. They're serious. They are absolutely serious. But we are going to prevail. So
we will.
I want to thank
freedom and liberty will always win out.
That's correct. Let's have faith in we the people, and we have a crucial election coming up in November. We go with the establishment, we go with the anti-Americanism, we go with the globalism of the Biden and Border Czar Harris, or do we go with we the people? Do we go with our constitutional republic? And I say we go with our constitutional republic, and we elect Donald Trump as president of the United States, and let's squash this movement meant to undermine our liberties and our freedoms. So thank you, Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Thank you, Boyd. Bring it on, boy. I, Guy, nice to see you. Snowman James, good to see you. Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check out Annie Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time with her great sidekick, Arthur Curtis Bennett, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Gulf Dogs HOV Radio, Sue from New Mexico. Nice to see you, Sue. Everybody out there in podcast land. Wednesday evening, you've got Hank Jones and Polly Stort Sports at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Saturday, Usama Dakduk and the Straight Way of Grace Ministry with the beautiful Christy, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to learn about Islam, check out Usama's show. He speaks Arabic fluently. He understands the Quran, and he knows the Bible back and forth. So you can also get the translated version of the Quran from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. I have a copy myself. I know Al does, and it's worth the read. So thank you all. Holger, thank you for the call. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. Stay safe. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today, folks. Have a good evening. Rest in peace, Toby Keith. Ciao for now.
Courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
All right. Right on time.
Hey, I thought I saw something about Sue's father passing, and I wasn't sure if that was accurate or not. Did you hear anything?
No. Oh, I did not.
Mm. I thought I saw a tweet or something, but I wasn't sure. So.
Oh. Well, I'll check it out. Well.
Anyway,
man, you know that story that appeared in Jihad Watch with regards to the UNRW and the supplying of electricity and the number of tunnels. Oh my God, Al, 350 to 450 miles of tunnels. That takes some serious bread.
I've heard 500 and up.
You know what? Doesn't anybody see the significance of tunnels being built by Hamas and the amount of money it takes to do that? Holy crap. You.
Well, yeah, and also how the top three Hamas leaders are worth $3 billion and up.
Yes. And Arafat's wife was getting something like, what was she getting, like $3 million a month after he passed?
Yeah,
$3 million a month.
And the Israelis went into Tul Kerem, where they have a memorial to Arafat, and they took bulldozers to it and tore it down.
What? What?
No wonder why all these woke people are upset. Wait a minute. Oh, wait. They're a proponent of tearing down statues and monuments.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially of terrorists. So Mrs. Arafat's getting $3 million a month. How in the world did Yasser Arafat amass that kind of wealth? Good
rap,
investing?
Corruption.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Well,
come
just
on.
Just like the United Nations has become part of Hamas, and they're still getting funded. And finally, people are saying, and this is not a new story. It has been, Israel's been saying it for years and years, but nobody believed it. And that's part of why the Palestinians have had forever refugee status since 1948, because it's become profitable for the UN. So they keep getting money to dish it out to the Palestinians, and they just take their cut off the top.
No, I'll tell you what, it has been absolutely incredible what we are witnessing, what has been uncovered over the last 36 months from the corruption of the U.S. in the U.S. government, the corruption of Joe Biden, of Barack Obama, to the corruption at the United Nations, to the corruption in Gaza. We're not talking about one or two tunnels. We're talking about 500 miles of tunnels that's built by Hamas, a foreign terrorist organization, who's been running Gaza since 2003. So the Gazans are Hamas, and Hamas is Gaza. And
they voted right? for them, 60%+ of them.
My goodness gracious.
And that's why nobody wants him. That's the other half of it I forgot to mention, is Jordan doesn't want him. Egypt doesn't want him. Turkey doesn't want him. Nobody wants to take the Palestinian refugees at all. Egypt won't take him. Egypt won't even take him into the Sinai Desert because they know that they're troublemakers. Kuwait won't take him. Oh, they kicked him out. I forgot.
Oh, yeah, they kicked him out
when they backed. When they backed Saddam Hussein. So Kuwait kicked them all out. Stupid ass.
Yeah, there has to be a reason for all this, right? I mean, there has to be a reason for this. And now we're learning the corruption inside the United Nations as a result of UNRWA. And there's been calls for the UNRWA president to step down, or the chair, and he's refused to do so. So...
Mm-hmm.
That means not only do you stop funding the UNRWA, but you also stop funding the United Nations.
He's smart. He knows that in a month or two, the story will be in the back headlines and nobody will remember, and life will go on. Oh, did you hear, on another note, Sony Music? Guess how much they paid for half of Michael Jackson's music catalog?
Half of Michael Jackson's... Music?
Half.
How
just
much?
Half. Yeah. $600
Uh-oh.
Million. Dollars.
No.
Yep, $600
no,
million.
No, I did not hear. How much have they paid? Let me see. I'll Google it.
$600
Sony
million.
For music. Let's see. Sony reaches
$600 million
deal February 9th, 3 days ago. $600 million.
You don't hear me?
No. Now, go ahead.
$600 million.
No. Whoa. Billie Jean. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Holy cow. $600 million. For Michael Jackson's music.
And all
wow.
the music he bought, because he also bought all of the Beatles catalog as well, and that caused a lot of agita between him and McCartney.
Wow. Boy, that's a real thriller, isn't it? Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Then asteroid fragments you know that asteroid fragments landed near Berlin in late January were recovered, and the rocks revealed to be aubrite, a rare mineral potential originating from the planet Mercury.
Whoa.
How about that?
That's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And, oh, and forgot to talk about Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's back in the hospital with a bladder issue.
He transferred power to his
undersecretary. So what happens if Austin dies or becomes – yeah, what happens if he dies or becomes unable to be Secretary of Defense? I guess we'll bring somebody else in.
Yeah, the undersecretary, Kathleen – oh, my God, where the hell did my notes go? Yeah, there's they transferred power to Kathleen, whatever her name is, the undersecretary of defense.
Ah.
And this time they were transparent about it. Is that a word? Yeah, let me see. I got it right here. Yeah, the Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks. So, and this was a result of his prostate cancer surgery and treatment in December. So he's still suffering from complications, and he's been moved to an ICU.
Well, and of course, he lives but gets removed from office because he was a real not a good Secretary of Defense. He hated Israel, so screw him. Oh, and the shooter over at Houston?
Houston? Yeah.
At Joel Osteen's mega church in Texas, a woman in a trench coat opened fire with a long gun, an Armalite AR-15. With Palestine written on the side of the AR.
Yeah, and a transgender one at that, wasn't he? She? It?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't get all the details.
Yeah, so
he was a she.
And
a
because they can't confirm, they're going to continue to call her, but apparently it was a he who identifies as a woman. So not only that, he despised Israel, he despises Christianity, and he is a she now. So again, is transgenderism a mental disorder? And it's been legitimized by the Marxists in Washington, D.C., like Joe Biden. I mean, you know, again, Christianity is under attack, and the U.S. media goes silent. Other than that, everything's good.
I've heard
the
story now for a couple of days, but I didn't know those details you just mentioned about the man being a cross-dresser. That's a big part of the story.
Yeah, I watched the press conference today with the Houston police, and they said, for right now, we're going to call her because we cannot confirm that the her was a him. But then there were some reports on Twitter with the name of the male individual, because it was first reported that it was a male, and then it became out it was a woman, and then but they did confirm, as they reported early, that the gun had Palestine on it, Free Palestine. So they will sanitize it. They certainly will.
Yeah, I mean, a man who cross-dresses, someone who's not comfortable with their, I don't know, with their
sexuality,
gender, then that's got to be a tough way to have to go through life, to be unsure about your gender, and then everything that goes with that. Of course, you're going to have mental issues.
Yeah. And... and this government has allowed it. They've allowed for this. Oh my God!
They made them a protected species.
Yeah, for 0.5% of the population. That's what a democracy does. Oh
yeah. Now, if you're an insurance company, or you're in prison, taxpayers have to pay for the surgery
mm-hmm.
to the gender surgery to cross gender. So if you're a man, you want to be a woman. Now taxpayers have to pay for it. And I can't even get dental insurance.
Well, you're identifying with the wrong sex. That bites.
I got to rethink my whole lifestyle. I'll identify as a Indian, black Indian female.
There you go.
I'll be the ugliest black Indian female on planet Earth, but I'll get dental insurance.
That's right. Hey, did you watch any of the Tucker Carlson interview of Vladimir Putin?
No, I wasn't interested in that.
I heard that he
got used pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? You have to watch it yourself, okay? And I thought...
What gems did you get out of it?
Well, one is, you know, early. I didn't watch the entire 1 hour and 35 minutes. I'm about 35 minutes short, yeah. But he let him talk. Carlson let him talk, but Putin was getting some digs in to Carlson, and Carlson called him out on it. And he didn't let him get the digs, and Carlson was right and said, well, you know, you filibustered. Oh, I'm not filibustering. And so, you know, I think, look, no one's been able to interview this guy, and I think it was quite revealing what Carlson was able to do during the interview. He also laughed at Putin, which nobody talks about. He laughed at him twice because Putin made some absurd comments, and Carlson called him out on it. So, you know, he sat there. He's being a journalist. He's interviewing a foreign leader who happens to be a despot, and you know, he let Putin talk, which also showed some absurdity on the part of Putin. So I didn't think it was that bad from the hour that I watched.
It's interesting because I was one of the people that didn't watch it and relied on news accounts to get a sense of how the interview went.
Yeah.
And everything that I read is that Tucker Carlson, he was played by Putin, and Putin had his way with him and had an hour and a half propaganda. And that Tucker Carlson was useless. He was the tool of Putin. That's how I perceived it based on the media accounts of that interview. And you watched it, or a good portion of it, and you saw the exact opposite. So, I mean, I'll watch it.
Yeah, you know, and I went into it like I read some of the comments that you had read like that. Okay, now first of all, the guy's a communist. Okay, he's Vladimir Putin was brought up under the old Soviet Union. Now, do you think with as many journalists that have been incarcerated, and how easy it is to detain individuals? One, the mindset of individuals going into that, you do have to be mindful to a certain degree. Now, you can be disrespectful, and the interview's over in 3 minutes, okay? Or you can play to the audience that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Putin made some absurd commentary, and I got to tell you, and you'll just watch it. But I saw Tucker Carlson laugh at Vladimir Putin for the claims that he was making against Carlson, and then Carlson just went on and asked the questions, and then at an appropriate time he said, you know, I believe you're filibustering, you know, what will you please answer my question concerning, you know, Crimea, and you know, you're giving Russian history, what time period are you up to now? Okay, we have to move this along.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he got played. I think he conducted himself. Could he have been a little bit more forceful? Probably. But how forceful are you with a communist dictator? You know, unless you're on your own ground, if he was in Washington, D.C. or New York City and conducting the interview, I wouldn't be fearful of not getting out of New York City. I would be fearful of getting out of Moscow. if I went total nuclear on Putin, you know. So I took it a different way. I think people are pissed off because they couldn't do what Carlson did, and that was sit down for an hour and a half and talk to Putin. Now, I think it told us a lot about Putin and what kind of an individual he is. I mean, it's exactly what we thought he was. He's a fucking Rush. He's a communist. End of story.
Well, I like your analysis better than anything I heard on in the media.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm going to finish listening to the interview tonight. I thought you watch it. You tell me what you think. If you can't even get through the first hour, I totally understand. But I would like to get your perspective on it as well.
I'll do that. I'll give it a listen.
All right. Well, have a good evening.
All right. You do the same.
Thank you. And we'll keep in touch and see what transpires over the next week and what other crisis or distraction will be offered by the malleable simpleton Biden and his corrupt regime. And we'll see if this mild-mannered moron is given any more of a break.
Sounds good.
Good night,
Sue. All right, we'll hit him straight and not too often.
I will try. Thank you. I will try. Shot 3 under last week, which is nice. So.
Did you? Congratulations.
Yeah. Backed it up with an even par the next day. So got something going on.
That's damn good. That's be able to do that, put 2 days together. Awesome. That's a lot of work that goes into that, ladies and gentlemen. It just doesn't happen.
I guess got to stop the dumb bogeys. Oh, God. Par 3 is killing me. I'm missing greens and then missing short putts after getting up and down. Ugh.
Yeah. But, well, they've got some long par 3s where you're at, longer than 200-plus, so those are never easy.
Oh, man. I look, not bragging. I almost aced a 217-yard par 3. Oh, my God. I left it. I swear to God, it was inside of – it was probably 6 inches from the hole.
No shit.
No shit. I get up there. I went, oh,
what'd
my
you hit,
God.
Your 5-iron?
No, 217. I hit a 5-wood because it was a little bit into the wind and the pin was back. So
yeah.
I hit a 5-wood. Hit the front half and it just rolled nicely. And I'm watching this thing and it's like, wow, it just keeps rolling. I get up there and it was like, it was about 6 inches from the cup, from dead center. I was like, oh my God.
Denver.
I know. It was like, whoa. Huh. And then I missed a green from 150 yards. I missed a freaking green. The next par 3, son of a puppy dog. Jeez.
It's hard to keep it together for 18 holes.
Yes, it is.
Golf is a very difficult game, especially when you lose your shit. And you can't, it's like you never swung a club before. And then it gets weird.
Has that ever happened?
To me, I'm working out of it, barely.
How you doing? You hitting the ball all right?
No.
Oh, you were doing so well there.
I started hitting the ball. I was, and then I think I get lazy, and instead of taking I get lazy with the backswing and then the outside in, and then most importantly, the speed and tempo goes insane.
There you go.
And
yep.
The better I hit it, I want more, and then I feel like I got to swing hard in order to get that. But it's really nothing to do with swinging hard. It's speed and tempo.
That's frustrating.
Well, hey, it's golf.
Yeah,
it makes the game fun.
Yeah, that isn't that the truth? Fun and freaking just
Well, fun may not be the operative word sometimes. You got to hit rock bottom, and then you can dig your way out.
Ain't that the truth? Oh, crap.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're in a steady place, and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've been doing some speed training, and it's really, really helped. And it's I got to say, that's what I'm excited about. It's now 4 months now. I've been doing some speed training, and I'm finally seeing the results of it. And it's helped me get into the right positions. And I realized some swing flaws that I had even more. And I'm working with those instead of combating, I'm using some of that swing flaw to help. And oh my God, I hit some shots today with the driver. Just wow. But I'm hitting more of a fade than I was before. And that's because that's what my swing has been dictating. It really is. It's made a difference. All of a sudden I'm scoring again. And I found something in my takeaway too. That was the other thing. My takeaway, I found a little glitch in it, and I finally got it worked out, and I think I do, and it's worked the last month. I figured out something that I was doing incorrectly in my takeaway. Just huge, absolutely huge.
Half the battle is exactly that, knowing what to do to fix what ails you.
Yeah, and this speed training has done it. I firmly believe it's done it. So it's allowed me to realize some of the mistakes or realize my swing a little bit better, and it's helped it out. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks. You get back on the track, will you please? Get down to that 10 handicap again.
Shit. Now I'm up to a 14. If I can. Yeah, I shot a 47 and a 42. When did I play? Sunday. Sunday I played.
Well, the 42 was terrible. Good.
Well, yeah, next to a 47. And one birdie, and that was it. And otherwise, it's like bogey, 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 bogey. Maybe a par in there.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Well, it is, because I played better and I've hit the ball better, but now I just got to figure it back out. I think I'm my own worst enemy, Vito. What can I tell you?
Welcome to golf? Is that what you can say? That's what we can say, Al.
Isn't it great?
It is so great.
I
can
play it for a long, long time.
I know. All right, man. Have a good day or good night. I'll speak to you later. All right.
You too.
All right.
All right. Great show as always. And adios.
All right. Thank you for using Blog.